In a world where three unsuspecting hunks with charming smiles and big old ding-dongs come together by the power of the internet to answer the unanswerable, discuss the undiscussable, and win the hearts of the unwin-heartables, starring Brandon Hunkmaster Bernhardt, Jake Badonk Wilhelmy, and Matt That-Ass Though Ellis. In Qualified Nonsense, coming in your ears every Monday.
I'm Brandon.
Yeah.
And I'm Matt.
And this is just Qualified Nonsense.
No, I'm Jake.
And that's Jake.
Well... it was a good idea.
I just got so perturbed. There was so much ass talk in there.
Yeah, there was a bit of ass.
I'm hey, a hunk, hey guys. Right, hunk of shit.
off to a good start. How are you boys doing?
Fine.
Great. Well, this has been another episode of Qualified Nonsense. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Nah, I'm good. You know, doing that thing.
You're not 40,
you,
Matt, but what? Soon.
At the time of this, I am.
Oh, at the time of this.
I'll report back. Nice. I turned 40 on Saturday. This is like...
Do you have anything... what?
I was going to say, this is like 4 episodes behind.
Yeah. It'll be 41 by the time this comes out.
I was trying to make a comment on the... passing of time, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you have anything fun planned for the actual day itself?
We're going to Vegas.
Okay.
We're going to a steak restaurant that I've been researching. I follow way too many like Las Vegas influencers that I care to admit on the social platforms. But this one's called the Golden Steer, and it's kind of off the strip. It's like a very old style steakhouse. I've heard of that place. What's that?
I've heard of that place. That's like a Sinatra Elvis type place, right?
Like there's a guy who has apparently worked there for like 50 years who only makes Caesar salads and they make them table side. It's one of those spots. Like, yeah, you better tip Buster pretty good because he'll kill you if you don't. So I'm looking forward to that. And
like where you order a martini and they give you the like the little sidecar of
they give you the whole extra shaker of like here's the stuff we didn't use. Oh
yeah.
This looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean it's schmancy. Like if you look it up, it's kind of like in a strip mall, but it's apparently the spot to go to, and we made the reservation months ahead, so we're looking forward to it.
Nice.
Other than that'll that just fun. Relax, let loose. Hopefully win some money, maybe a little bit. Who knows? I don't know. Whatever.
Going to the Sphere?
We are. My wife bought us tickets to go to the like nature movie that they play.
Ooh.
Oh, nice. You're not going to see fish?
Elephant schlong walking across the... There are videos, if you look it up, of like the nature video, and it's an elephant literally walking over, and there's been plenty of people who have taken their liberties with Premiere and After Effects to superimpose things on said elephant. It was like, whoa.
Oh, Kenny Chesney's going to be at the Sphere while you're there. You're not
Yeah,
going
he just
to
started his residency. Apparently it's pretty good, but I'm only a little bit rock and roll, not a little bit country.
Are you going to be under the influence of anything while you're at the...
A good time. I'm going to be the harborer of good vibes.
Wow. Under the influence of high blood pressure medication and
I am taking like my lisinopril with me. It's all good.
Painkiller. Yeah.
It's all good.
He's gonna spend most of the time coming down
some low dose aspirin.
His flight meds.
Oh, good point. No. We are flying first class.
Ooh.
So looking forward to that. So I'm going to be stone cold sober and see what they can do for me. Not nice. What I can do for
I was
going to
say,
them.
That seems like a waste of a first class ticket. Because
exactly.
You usually conk
all the way to the FL.
It's only like 2 hours, too. So I was like,
yeah, pretty short flight.
Keep them coming. I don't care if you're an early city. That's what they call Las Vegas. I don't care. I paid for this ticket. You get up and serve me.
What is it? Early sit? What's that?
Yeah, so in Las Vegas, every time we've been on Alaska, they call it an early sit city. So they really do like one round. And because when you fly in over the mountains, it can be precarious with turbulence.
Yeah.
And they do it for the safety of their staff. But I was like, you cheapskates. You cheapskates. Stand up. Serve me. We're going to the city of fun.
No, they, I mean, once you sit, you know, you're first aboard, so you usually get a drink then, and then they'll usually hit you up a couple times before you land.
We got to pick our food already, which is kind of cool.
In first class, they like make sure you're situated. Yeah,
it's so not like those.
Take off and, yeah.
Oh, don't worry. I'll make sure they know.
Low lives in. Fucking dead beats in the back of the plane where they only go through.
Hey guys, just get on faster. I got drinks to get to. Find your overhead compartment. If you don't have a spot, just check it. It'll be fine.
Every time someone passes you going into like economy or whatever, you just go, ew, ew, ew.
it's like sitting in first class is going to
look at me in the eyes.
It's going to make me like Baby Billy from Righteous Gemstone. Yes, bitch. Get out of here. Go on.
Jeez.
Yeah, if they come and they say, would you like anything, Mr. Ellis? You say, yes, I need, bitch. Need for you to do your fucking job.
I need it. Yeah, exactly. If you hear about a plane being diverted from Portland Las Vegas just because of an unruly passenger, you'll know it's me. It's like, these guys made it to Redmond and they had to turn around. Anyway, that's what I'm looking forward to.
No, because you had two Michelob Ultras or
at 7 a.m. I've already had those on the way down there.
Oh, no. Some morning beers. Is your flight really early?
A couple of roadies.
It takes off at 7 a.m. So.
Oh.
You guys know me. I'll be at the airport.
So are you getting
at 4:30.
There the night before? Are you just not going to go to bed? You're just going
to have a good time. Sue me. That's called a good time.
If the bar never closes. Beforehand, you're going to be so angry because you'll board the first class flight. You'll fall asleep before they get your drink order, and then you'll wake up in Las Vegas.
I'll get kicked off beforehand because I'm pissed everybody else is taking too long. I sat down. Where are you? Get on.
Has your wife like tempered any of your when you guys travel together, any of your tendency to want to get there super early?
No.
Like, does she? No.
Absolutely not. Because we were talking about like, oh, can we do carry on or do we have to check a bag? I was like, well, if we check a bag, you know, that's an extra 30 minutes.
Ooh.
She's like, oh, no. I know. She's like, I know. I know.
You're like, no, you're first class. You get like two check bags for free.
I know, but like we still
30
have
minutes
to go
each,
through that process.
Brandon, 30 minutes
yeah,
each.
You just added an hour.
You keep mouthing off, it's going to be an hour and a half.
Well, no, you have your first class. You get the priority line. You don't have to wait in line. Yeah.
Yeah, but still.
Wait, not through.
Yeah.
Through security?
Yeah, you, no. Oh, like no, you're not if you're checking security, a bag, but you get your own line.
Yeah, at the front gate, the front. Right.
You just like walk up to the front. That's when you say ew, but you like point across from everybody that's waiting, like ew.
Have you guys ever done like the pre-board or
pre-check
or the clear or whatever?
No,
I've wanted to. But you have to go for an interview. Like, you have to actually have an interview to go do it.
Right.
I feel like I don't fly enough to regularly to make it really worth it.
Yeah.
But I think it's only like $50 or $100 a year. But I guarantee you, if you stand in any of those lines ever again, you're like, oh, God, I should have done
it. Right. If I feel like for business or something for work, I would definitely want to do it. But. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I fly, you know, maybe a couple times a year. So.
Right.
I'm telling you, man, though, it's so worth it. I don't have it, but I'm telling you, it would be worth it because we know we've all been there. We've been like, we'll go to the line like, oh shit, this is gonna be wild, and then you see like, up to go quattro, up to go quattro. It was like,
or you just fly out of a small airport. Like I flying out sometimes of the Eugene airport. Worse. We went. It was from the time we were closed our front door to the time we were at our gate was 20 minutes. Like all.
Wow.
But that's assuming Carl didn't call in sick, because otherwise he'd be screwed.
That's true.
Chaos at Eugene Airport. TSA employee calls in sick.
Employee.
They're one guy. Yeah.
Is it one, like one guy, or is it bigger than that?
No, it's bigger. I mean there's a few people, but yeah.
Nice.
They've only got I don't know, like maybe 8 gates or something. It's not huge.
Huh. Well, should we take this time to get frisked down and ready for some questions?
Hell yeah, brother.
Indeed. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by The Outside. The weather is nice, and it's time to get out and enjoy it a little.
Playing soccer, swimming in a water hole, or just going for a walk
are just a few great ways to get that blood flowing, move your body, and enjoy the outdoors. Outside. We'll see you there.
And welcome back. Feel free to drop us a line at qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or connect with us on our socials. Now's the time on the show where we take on Reddit's most pressing questions by finding the top trending ones and answering them here. Our first one comes to us from Ask Reddit. The username FastandTheCurious7. They ask, what is your favorite insult without using curse words?
Yeah. Wow, actually, I don't know. I was going to say you bastard, but...
Yeah, fuckface.
Yeah. F-face.
I think mine is like, your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
Oh, yeah, that's
I'll be one. That nerd that will always hold on to that one.
I think calling someone a clod is kind of funny. Like, you clod. It's like those old, like, Don Martin Mad Magazine cartoons. Like, they always use stuff like, anyway. Like, terms like that. But,
yeah, dingus. I also say you dingus for, like, pop culture reference Steve Brule.
Or. I like the term, I mean, it's not something I use, but like the term all hat, no cattle to describe someone who's like all talk. And
yeah.
That's when you look real tough. I just don't have good insults because I would just be like, you're a dick. But.
Trying to think. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, something that I stumbled into. I used to work with a guy who had a nice car, and he really liked, you know, sort of geeking out about cars. And I realized that something that really was able to get under his skin in a fun, like a fun sort of playful way, was that he that I was like, oh, you know, I bet you're, I'm sure you're fine at driving. You're just not very good. So it wasn't like a direct, like you're bad at driving. Cause then he could be like, that's incorrect. But you'd be like, oh, you're not very good at driving. And he's like, what the fuck? It's like, why did that make me so angry so fast?
Here's some answers that people gave. The top one is, why you're just as smart as you can be.
Oh yeah. The southern one is the bless your heart.
Yeah. I envy those who have never met you.
Ooh.
Oh, spicy. Driving again. There's been a couple of times where my in the car when someone does something stupid, or I think to be stupid on the road. I say, I remember the first time I drove a car, and usually I get scolded by my eldest. He's like, well, maybe they're just not a very good driver, or maybe they're learning. I'm like,
you're better. Shut up. I like nincompoop.
No, they're an idiot.
I still like calling somebody a nincompoop.
Nincompoop, that's pretty good. Dummy is actually a pretty good one too.
Sometimes I call my kids ding dongs, but
yeah, that's
one of those when you're being silly. Listen, you ding dong.
Oh yeah,
fart face.
I regularly say that I call my kids rotten kids. I'm like, you rotten kids.
Wow. Oh jeez. Listen, actually, you're scoundrels.
No, it's usually in a joke, but your reaction was great because one time my youngest, this was like a year ago, so he like his speech wasn't so great, and he said, "You rotten adults," or "You rotten pop," or something like that, and I was like, "Ren," and I was like earnestly, like, "Why'd you say that?" And he's like, "Well, you say it all the time." And I was like, yeah, "Oh, you're right." See? I was like, "Oh no, I'm a bad."
How do you like that?
You're a better person than
Here's
I am.
Here's your Uno reverse card.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
This person says, "My father and teenage daughter, me, at the age of 16 or 17, having a huge argument about me not washing the cars. I scream, 'Fine, Dad, I'm just useless. I can't do anything right.' His response, 'No, you're not useless. You can always serve as a bad example.'"
Damn. I see a dad like washing his car and be like, "Well, weren't even helping anyway."
Your dog wags its tail when you leave.
Oh, geez.
I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. There's a couple that are like that I really think are fun. I can't remember them off. One of them's something like Village Idiot sort of style, or like some villages lost their idiot or something.
I feel like
that.
If you're going to insult somebody now, though, without swearing, it takes. Yeah, it's like a coined phrase, because you have to say this verbal thing rather than like, "You dick." It's right. Like, well, if
yeah,
you would have been half as good as you were the yesterday, kind of then your mom wouldn't have needed you a fortnight ago. It's like, what? You know,
come back when you can't stay so long.
Oh, Luke was my brother. Luke was trying to do one that from like an old movie where like, if, especially if someone said something stupid, you would just sort of stop and look at them and say, "I didn't quite catch your name," or something to the effect of like, "What was your name again?" But like really make a moment out of it. I feel like that's a good sort of like sly insult.
There's a comedian, Kevin Nealon. He was on Conan's show when he had a show, and like there was like a lull in their conversation, and he just goes, "Where is that waiter?"
That's good.
I call you a tool, but that implies you're actually useful.
No.
I feel like all of these
some of your favorite insults on our Qualify Nonsense Reddit page. Just go on and insult.
Oh, yeah, that's two brain cells battling for third place.
Oh.
That's good. I feel like all of these, though, like what Matt said about it being having to be like a phrase, if ever the opportunity arose in the moment, I would fuck up the phrase. I mean, like 100% of the time, I would mess up the words, and then I'd just look like an absolute buffoon.
Exactly. And then I would get even more pissed off, and then I would swear twice as much.
And harkening back to our previous episode, I would absolutely turn to violence.
Well, also, like, if you're trying to insult someone and then you're like, as Winston Churchill once said, like, it's like, okay, now you're getting wedgie.
I think I told this story once already, but so we parked in a parking garage for a Timbers game, and somebody blocked us in. We waited there for like over an hour, and I was just stewing of like, how rude do you have to be? And I was with my business partner and one of our other friends. It's unaffiliated. And they finally came back, and I was sitting on their hood, and it was a nice Audi, and they're like, they looked like they knew exactly what they did. And I was like, is this your car? Like, yeah. I was like, get the fuck out of here. And then we all like kind of go to our spots. And then I open my door and I yell out my door. I was like, as I stood up, my final like contribution to the insult was nice mid-size SUV. And I get in and I close my door, and my business partner like pats me on the back from the back. So he's like, good job, bud. Don't talk to me right now. Just don't say anything.
That's the moment I would turn to violence. I'd be like, I'm not even mad at you, but I guess I'm coming at you now.
You're not pretty enough to be this stupid.
Ooh.
Oh.
Damn.
Or
actually, I kind of like that. Say,
your grades say marry rich, but your face says study harder.
Jeez.
But see, it's a if this, then that. Like, yeah, it's a,
I know, and you're mid that, and then whoever you're insulting goes,
and then you just hit him in the nose.
Yeah, it's when the head.
I challenge you to a battle of wits, but you appear to have come unarmed. That's something that would give you a wedgie.
It's not even worth it. I just walk away.
I also love the idea that Brandon. You've said that twice about giving someone a wedgie. I would love to picture you in a situation where you're like, yep, you're getting a wedgie.
Just wedging a stranger. Some stranger like bumps into me.
Also, you know, like, it's us, right? So we would try to give a wedgie, but then like we wouldn't be able to find the underwear or something like that, and then it would just turn really awkward of us like digging in their pants.
Then you,
and
we'd be suddenly like, you're on the sex offender registry. Like trying to reach into someone's pants.
It's like I'm gonna come up, oh, you're ripping my dick off.
Don't bully me, I'll come. Stop.
Oh. Well,
if a brain eating bacteria got in your head, it would starve.
Oh, that reminds me of
ooh, sick burn, bro.
It was one of the Simpsons Halloween episodes where the zombies came out, and then they're like, brains, and then so Homer's like, save yourselves, and then they're like, they like grab him, but then they like put him back, they like ignore him, and he's like, hey.
You're like a pizza cutter, all edge and no point.
Yeah. Well, lesson learned. You can't really insult very well without swearing.
So, I feel like an insult is like a heat of the moment thing, and you like to come up with like some clever saying seems like, I don't know, it doesn't seem as spontaneous or as, I don't know.
Maybe that's how you very like level head gentry to be like, well, if I was
when I worked in a place in New York that was run by some mob guys, one guy who one of the owners was this like mean Italian dude, and he slipped in the restaurant that we were working in. He like slipped and fell and like hit a table and stuff, and we were like, oh gosh, are you okay? And as he slipped and fell and like got up, he called himself a mutt. He's like, you dumb mutt. And that always stuck with me as being like, and I now recognize it. I don't think I did so much at the time, because then I started using it because I was like, oh, that's fun, but it's definitely like racially charged. So
you're saying something like, yeah, super racial and Russian. You have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of these like kind of well thought out insults are very almost more biting than just calling someone an asshole.
Right.
They're almost more like more personal.
Yeah.
Like, well thought out. Like, God, I've been waiting to tell this to Jerry for a long time.
Yeah, they almost seem more devastating. Like, if you heard somebody say that, than if they just called you a dipshit or whatever.
Your mother doesn't love you.
Oh, well, that's a loaded statement.
Just the person just breaks down, starts crying.
Okay, this next one.
Yeah.
What?
I was just going to say, what's the next question?
Yeah, the next question comes to us from the Ask subreddit. Not Ask Reddit, but just Ask. They ask, the username is Paranoid Artist. They ask, is it a good idea to live with your partner, even temporarily, before marriage? From what I've seen from my own community as a Christian, most Christians are against the idea of living with your boyfriend / girlfriend. Many believe it invites lust and temptation to be sexual before marriage. However, I think it's smart to live with your partner temporarily. Maybe after getting engaged, you'll already be preparing to live with each other anyway. Might as well get in there and see what each other's habits are so you don't have marriage locking you both in. My community would probably argue that if your partner is God-given, then it won't matter what their habits, what habits they have, because God chose them for you. But I'd argue that not every Christian knows for sure when a person is the one chosen by God. Love can be blinding and addictive, and what they say may convince themselves is a relationship chosen. They may convince themselves is a relationship chosen for them by God could just be themselves convincing themselves that their partner is the one. But for the most part, just knowing each other's habits and way of living beforehand, I think that's the super important. I think that's super important and can only really be seen when you live with each other. What if bro plays his guitar loud at almost every hour of the day?
Well, that was a good episode, everybody. Also, woof. God, cry me a river.
Jesus. First of all, like, get a different community. That's my opinion on that one. But yeah, I think it's probably a good idea to live with the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. I mean, it's, you know,
also
the first statement of like of it inviting lust and temptation, like. Okay, it wasn't there before. You're right. A living together.
No, it's like, bad habits of my partner. What bad habits could you possibly have where you're like, I literally cannot live with you? Like, oh, I'm sorry, you murder cats and hang them up on the shower rack. Yeah, maybe. True.
That'd be a good heads
outside
up.
Of like, oh, I'm sorry, he doesn't turn the fan on after he leaves the bathroom. Like, is that really a deal breaker? Like,
well, and presumably you two have hung out together, so you would kind of know what the other person is like. But also, they say, is it a good idea to live with your partner even temporarily before? Like, what situation where you would be like, oh, let's move in together just for like 6 months and see what happens? Like,
Brandon, it's been a long time since we've been in this game. People do weird shit now. They're like, I don't know. They're like, you just want to like sublease a relationship? Sure. Whatever. People do weird shit all the time now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is this very common for Christian couples to not live together?
Oh, yeah.
Before marriage?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the predominant expectation in Christian communities.
Premarital, period.
So, I mean, even if they're not sleeping with each other, they're not supposed to live together?
Right. They can sleep with other people. That's fine. But not together.
And butt stuff. Okay.
Yeah, I've heard of the soaking thing.
Dude, Mormons are weird.
I mean, I don't know why it would be a. Is this person saying that they are
in that community, right?
Yeah, but I guess.
Also, how does a Christian find out about Reddit?
In a relationship.
That seems pretty taboo.
Yeah.
It's so troubling. Like, the whole idea of this person being like the the contradiction of having a partner chosen by God, but they're not sure if it's chosen by God, but it's chosen by God. Like that, like I get that people are there. It just blows my mind. And I know.
But maybe it's a test.
Right. But also like it's a test, but also like divorce in a lot of these religions.
Just so you know.
Sure. Sure. Which is like cool of him. I just don't. Yeah. I like I know some listeners are religiously inclined, and I don't want to be particularly sort of aggressive or insulting in any way. I just don't get it, and I just think it's like it just seems like such a strange game to play. It looks like if anyone else did it, it would be a weird, almost sadistic game, but because it's God testing people, it's okay. That's what I'll say about that.
Well, is this assuming that you're moving in when you're engaged or before you get engaged?
Well, if you can break off in Christianity, you can break off an engagement and there's no harm, no foul, correct?
I mean, you can get divorced in Christianity. There's other, it's some other
Christianity sects. Some of them are,
I guess it depends on how we're classifying. Yeah. Different
denominations. I mean, Christianity is a huge net.
Exactly. So, generally you can, yeah. But I think from at least my personal experience and being in it, it's anything premarital. So it's, yeah, being engaged, living together even before you're engaged. I don't know. Not my cup of tea. And
no, not mine either.
Well, also, if your religion dictates that you don't live together before marriage, then why not just ask them like what their habits are, or you know,
can you please fill out this sheet?
Well, there's also
front and back.
Right, but there's also like the tabooness of the whole subject of personal habits, personal hygiene, you know, like not letting someone see your bedroom or your closet or something like that, or like nudity. Nudity is like, or not even just not even nudity, but like provocative or being risque is taboo in a lot of ways. So like not
nudity.
That's a great sound clip. No, but I just, you know, there's built in either societal or religiously driven taboos that are not okay to talk about, but then you also can't explore it because that's also taboo. So you're just like, there's like a bunch of socially blind.
All right, Jake, we're sending you in. You're a co-op. You got to figure this out.
Okay, I'm on it.
This week, next week, Jake gets saved.
I don't know why I got so stressed out about that one. What did people answer? Like, what were some of the official answers?
Yeah, hold on one. Matt, you have a booger hanging out of your nose.
Oh shit, I do. What's a that's paper towel. Yeah. That's the cocaine. Don't judge me, Jesus.
Coke booger.
I'm not asking for the world. Just asking for eight ball and $2 million. Top answer here is I think it's insane not to. There are so many things you don't know about a person until you both live together. I couldn't imagine the permanence of marriage being the starting point for actually getting to know each other on a deeper and practical level.
See, exactly.
I know the you didn't ask about it, but the same goes for sex. It's wild to me that some people only find out if they are sexually compatible after making a personal and legal vow to stay with somebody for the rest of their life.
Well, get used to it. I like to dress up like Annabelle. Okay, so it's gonna be fine for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, there's some people who write some pretty long things in here. I don't know.
To be fair, it was kind of a long dissertation.
But it seems like the consensus is, yeah, it's a good idea. But this person says, not only is it a good idea, it's absolutely absolutely necessary step. Because, yeah, like, what if, the person, your partner, is abusive or, because you're around each other so much, maybe have a short fuse or something like that, that, you know, you don't normally see when you only see them for a few hours at a time, and they become a unpleasant person to live around. Or,
yeah.
It could be like a personal safety thing. Like, maybe, you know, your partner hoards firearms or something, and they're mentally unstable.
I think a lot of the compatibility stuff is interesting, because Matt, you'd mentioned, like, you know, nothing like crazy, but like what habits would drive you away from someone after you are committed to them in some way.
I wasn't talking in the wide vast, like, oh yeah, your person hoards firearms. I was just talking in the sense of, like, hey, no, that's, this person that's, is like, they have sleep apnea that they're not willing to address, or
simplest things. Yeah, no, absolutely. That's like, exactly what I'm saying.
Won't turn the sink faucet off, but it drives me absolutely bonkers, and that's a deal breaker. That kind of stuff.
Right.
Well, also, no. If you believe in a forgiving God, you know, presumably it's better to beg forgiveness than to ask permission. So,
bingo.
You can always
be like, this guy's killing me. Now I'm killing him.
Yeah. I'm assuming you both lived with your current spouses before getting married, right?
And you know what? I know my parents listen to the show, and I value the fact that they do, and they know I am my person, and I know who they are. And I know that they never were super vocal about me and my wife living together before marriage, but it's one of those, I think I know how they felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, let bygones be bygones. Is it worth putting a strain in the relationship to say something that, you know, is already happening anyway? Like, do you think I'm going to move out of a year long lease? Okay, sure. Cause you don't like it. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I know a ton of people who are like this religious, but I don't know of anybody who hasn't lived together before getting married.
Well, I also feel like since I feel like was the most taboo thing to talk about, at least where we were at, I haven't been in religion long, and I haven't been in religion so long that, like, I see so many people that I know for a fact go to church every single week. They're like, oh, they're at the brewery drinking beers. Like, well, as long as you're not drunk in the spirit. It's like, yeah, but okay. We've created some, like, pretty loosey-goosey rules these days that I was so used to, like, really constrictive rules.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, communities are different, right? And that's, you know, Anna, my wife, went to a church growing up that started off, or at least when she was there, it was Southern Baptist, and then they kept, the church itself had to keep seceding from the larger party or group of, because they had values that were more evolved than, or more liberal, I guess, than the, you know, whoever was dictating the rules for that particular group of churches. And so they have to, the church itself had to keep seceding because their values changed. And I imagine that if that happens at one church, it happens in thousands of churches across the country all the time.
For sure.
So there's, like, you know, I'm sure even churches within the same cohort have varying values, not to mention the different, you know, types of Christianity or any other religion for that matter.
Well, and that's how I grew up Southern Baptist, which was, hey, if you dance with this person, they're probably going to get pregnant. It's like, whoa, all right, that's pretty aggressive. But, you know, like looking at quote unquote community churches now, it's like some guy that shows up in ripped jeans that he bought at Express. He wants to go talk to you about Jesus at Orange Julius, but he'll still pull up in his Ferrari that he owns. And then he's going to go slam a couple beer with his boys afterwards. But that's just all just a networking opportunity, all for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hell yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So I don't know. It's like, I feel like things have been so far removed. It's like, I think that's my biggest issue of is just organized religion, period.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Sorry, I'm reading this article from thegospelcoalition.org.
Brandon tuned out.
Asking, is living together before marriage really a sin? And
is there a TLDR?
Is there?
Yeah, I'm trying to. Does college life is finally over? You and your partner have started attending a new church. You love it there. The preacher opens the Bible every week. He walks through a passage of scripture and applies it to your life. The new church reminds you a lot of the church back home where you grew up. So after attending for several months, you and your partner feel compelled to commit and become more involved. You sign up for the 4-week membership.
See? It's a fucking racket. God. It's like, well, it's not like the church from back home. Well, this church is trying to get me to just tithe my... Oh, no. Ugh. Absolute garbage. This is why people don't like doing this stuff.
Obey Jesus with your body. To understand this issue, it's important to first listen to Jesus' words. He said that to follow him means committing our whole selves, body and soul. If anyone would come after me, let Jesus. Him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Daddy me. Dom. That's Matthew 16:24.
Sorry, Jesus was just talking to my body right then.
Unlike the popular refrain, my body, my choice, that frames a lot of conversations about sexuality, scripture says our bodies were crafted with care by a loving creator, Genesis 1-2. From the moment of conception, it also states that God's redeemed people, it also says that God's redeemed people have bodies that serve as the temple of the Holy Spirit. We cannot separate actions of the body from actions of the heart and soul.
So before we do an altar call, we're sitting at 42 minutes, 43 minutes on this episode. We're headed down the religion talk. I think y'all should make your own choice. If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. And if it makes you happy, then why the hell are you so sad?
According to the latest research, living together doesn't always lead to greater relational commitment or to marriage. One study showed that 6 years after they started cohabitating, 54% of couples had broken up and only 33% had married.
So, yeah, but then you left, like if you're in a community property state, you left without 50% of your earnings.
But I think
okay, according to this article, if you're trying to debate, here's what you should do. Number one, turn to Christ. Number two, commit to radical obedience. Number three, no, you're
radical
not alone.
Obedience? What the hell is that? Like, dangerous stuff?
What does obedience look like specifically? Because repentance involves turning away from sin. You should immediately make the arrangements necessary to...
We'll just link this in the more. Bio. We'll link this.
This guy's name is Daniel Darling, who wrote this.
Yeah, he's totally not gay.
He's the director of the Land Center for Cultural Engagement at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Guess what?
Many times,
my previous
many
statement
times
still stands.
Obedience show up in that article.
Let's take a look.
Brought to you by Obey or whatever that surf company was.
I bet.
And then Obey shows up 5 times.
Nice
as well.
Well, you should.
I mean, we
us.
Had it in our vows that Krisha said to honor and obey me.
Did you? I was gonna say that'd be so good.
I always joke with in her there. Though, from time to time. Like she, you know, I ask her to do something, and she says no. And I said, "You made a vow to honor and obey.
You signed on that line." Yes, I need, bitch. I'm gonna have to go back and look at ours. Just saying, we gotta end this episode so I can go back and I got a lot of stuff to
double check,
make good
stuff.
On.
dots of I's, cross some T's.
Let's see if we can make some amendments to this thing.
Alrighty, boys.
All right.
Oh, well, boys.
I think the consensus among us is, yeah, live together.
Go look at your marriage contracts. See what you might be missing out on compensation.
Jeez. You may be entitled to compensation.
Whatever you do, don't answer any questions.
Do you guys have prenups?
No. Do you?
No.
No.
I don't know.
I mean, it's a community property.
This is a separate
pretty
conversation.
Much the same thing.
Probably a private conversation.
But. Oh, on Reddit it says yes and no.
Wait, Jake's vulnerable.
Well, number one, I follow Christ or trust in God. Yeah. And,
okay.
Brandon's new vanity plate.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Please support the show over at Patreon at patreon.com/qualifiednonsense. Watch us over at YouTube at youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. Also, feel free to send any questions or comments to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or hit us up on our socials found in the episode description. And if you've done all that, please also rate, review, share, like, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. See you back here next week for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense.
Ciao.
Praise be.